Oh, that's right. We're right here on WCRS, and it's my great pleasure to have right on here with me this morning the one and only Jim Bohannon, heard right here on WCRS, 10 p. to 1 a.m. in the morning, keeping a lot of people company late at night. How you doing this morning, Jim Bohannon?
I'm doing just fine, Ann. Great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. I tell you what, I wanted to talk because we've just been through 2 weeks of the biggest pep rallies around, and last week at the RNC, I was actually down there in the thick of it. I was embedded with the South Carolina delegation. What an experience.
I guess it must have been rather noisy and confusing, would be my guess.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm surprised they still allow balloons to be come down from the ceiling and everything the way they do. I would have thought many years ago they would have decided this is a problem that people could get hurt. So I'm really surprised they still have that, because getting out of there with all the balloons on the ground certainly was a little bit of a problem.
Well, I'm sure it was. I've been around situations in which balloons were everywhere, and you're right. People don't realize, but they can, in fact, trip you up, and surrounded by other people, there's a chance you could fall and get at least a little bit trampled.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure that in the past, with all the reporting that you've done and everything, you've been on many floors of conventions.
I have. I have, absolutely.
I thought it was such a big difference. I didn't realize the difference that it would be. You think when you see things on TV that it's just like you're there, but it's not.
Well, not really, no, because TV cannot convey the sense of the crowd, of people jostling up against you, of the competing voices everywhere, the spectacle of the arena. No, a television does a wonderful job, but it's not the same as being on that floor.
That's true. So, you know, here we are. We just heard Hillary accept the nomination. I must say, I was a little disappointed. I'm gonna be picky, and I'm gonna be a woman here. Here she was wearing another pantsuit, albeit this one was fully white. Do you think she's going to wear anything different, Jim, the whole time?
Well, I can't imagine why she would. after all, if she is elected, she'll be setting all kinds of precedents, and certainly one of them will be pantsuits, pantsuits, pantsuits. There'll be pantsuits for the State of the Union. There'll be pantsuits for the inauguration. There'll be pantsuits in the big summits. There'll be pantsuits addressing the United Nations. That's going to be the new norm. I mean, when was the last time you saw Hillary Clinton in a dress? And I'll give you my answer. I do not recall ever seeing her in a dress. I assume that at the inaugural balls, I would imagine she might show up in a gown, but I just don't know.
So I guess that's going to be the new norm for females here then. Pantsuits will be it, right?
Well, I think it'll be the new norm for Hillary Clinton. I don't think that she will necessarily be a style setter, although you'll see some of that probably.
Okay. So, you know, I heard you last night. You were taking calls from people on their like, their confusion. They don't know what to do. What's your take on all this, Jim?
Well, each party needed some unity. And I would imagine that probably the Republicans came out of their convention, flawed as it was, with the Rules Committee argument the first day, with Ted Cruz refusing to endorse Trump. I think they probably came out somewhat more united than did the Democrats. Even after Bernie Sanders texted last night, as a favor to Bernie, he said, that's a direct quote, "Please don't interrupt Hillary's speech." And, of course, a few of his malcontents did. I think if you check the first-grade report cards of the average Bernie backer, you would find that doesn't play well with others as a notation. So both parties have fractures. Both parties have openings the other can exploit. But my feeling is that probably the Republicans are slightly better unified than are the Democrats.
But here's the thing. What do you think that the Republicans can overtake this Democratic dynasty that we have going here?
Well, I mean, dynasties don't always work out. Let's not forget a recent trend in history. We do not, as a people, tend to elect folks from the same party 3 terms in a row. You go back through the years, Nixon couldn't be Eisenhower's third term. Gore couldn't be Clinton's third term. McCain couldn't be W's third term. The only recent example to the contrary was 1988, when really George H.W. Bush did get Reagan's third term because Reagan was that popular. So that's a problem. There are more than a few people who are not interested in electing a third term of Barack Obama. So that's one thing that the Republicans have going for them. Another thing is that the Clinton machine, for one thing, hasn't hit on all cylinders like it did when Bill was running. And for another, I think people are aware that it's a machine. And now almost anything that the Clintons do is automatically looked on as being put at least potentially corrupt. So they've got some problems there. It's not an automatic that the Clinton machine will roll to victory, although they may, but it's not automatic.
What did you think about her bit about going to take down Wall Street?
Well, that was probably one of the funniest moments of the night. She is going to take down Wall Street. She has been in a love affair with Wall Street for decades. It just isn't going to happen. She will continue to be hand in glove with the good friends of hers on Wall Street, and that's not going to change. And if that's a turnoff for you, then I don't see how you vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, I heard something on the news this morning. I don't know if you've heard this, that Romney is investigating endorsing Gary Johnson, the Libertarian.
Well, certainly Romney has been the most recalcitrant of all Republicans regarding Donald Trump. I'm not sure how many people that would sway at this juncture, particularly given that Romney backers are out of sync with Gary Johnson on a host of issues, from Johnson's isolationism, from his dismantling of virtually everything in the government but the Pentagon. So it's hard for me to imagine that if he does that, it'll have a lot of impact, frankly.
Yeah, I think I watch the news now anymore, and I actually get depressed. Jeff, my husband, he quit on some of this stuff. He says, I can't take it anymore. It is a very upsetting time, I think, don't you?
Well, we're a very divided country, so that our politics reflects that merely means that it is a truly representative government. I mean, it would be a cause for concern if our politics showed everything's rosy and hunky-dory when, in fact, we know it isn't. So it reflects who we are. That's one thing on the positive side. And for another, this is a lot like, I suppose, taking out the garbage, in that it's a job. You need to do it. Nobody particularly wants to do it, but it has to be done. And if you are a citizen and a voter and a taxpayer and you care about those roles, then you say, okay, it's not what I had hoped for. They're getting nasty. Neither candidate is exactly my first choice. But you have to confront one central fact, and this is not pleasing to a lot of people, but get used to it, folks. The next president of the United States will be named Hillary Rodham Clinton or Donald J. Trump. Gary Johnson is not going to be president, or Dr. Jill Stein of the Green Party, not going to be president. None of those minor parties are, although Gary has a possibility of at least influencing the outcome. Trump or Clinton, that's it. Those are the choices. I don't care who your choices were earlier. That's what's left. And I intend to have a say-so in who becomes the president. Of course. I've never missed a vote in my life. Not one vote in my life have I missed.
What do you think about the people that are saying they're going to sit it out, they're not going to vote, or as I'll use Romney because that one that comes to mind, I may write in my wife's name.
That's just a cop-out, and it's a sign that you're not a good citizen, flat out. Be heard. And the last thing I want to hear from people like that is to start whining. Well, I was disenfranchised. Yes, you were. You were disenfranchised by yourself, bozo. Suck it up. Grow up. These are the choices. Pick one.
Yeah, what's that phrase? Suck it up, buttercup.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly.
Let's see. What do you think about this, the homeowners, the discord? What are you referring to? We had a call on that. What are you talking about, Jeff? Oh, yeah. You know, when I was on my way back Right. Okay. When I was on my way back Friday, I was listening to, turning on the radio, listening to a talk show host, and they were talking about communities that are no longer wanting diversity, shall we say, from the political aspect, whether you're a liberal or a conservative. They want all the same type of people living in their community, whether it is a subdivision, whatever it is. And the lady that was talking about how she was a liberal moving into a very conservative area of, I don't know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, anyway, somewhere in the Midwest. Well, I came back here and started talking about it. Well, come to find out, right here in Greenwood, South Carolina, we have communities, and this seems to be a big thing. We no longer want to have other points of view. We want to feel more comfortable when we only hear one side of the story.
Well, I think that's true. Of course, that's now more important because for the first time we can actually do it. Back in the day of the gatekeepers, when you had ABC, CBS, NBC, that was pretty much it, and you picked your poison. Today you've got 500 cable channels and a gazillion websites, so we can tailor-make the news. It's quite possible today to be, quote-unquote, thoroughly informed, unquote, and never hear a viewpoint that challenges your preconceptions. So you may know information, but you really haven't put it into proper analysis. It's good for every citizen to hear what the other side is saying. Now, as for where we live, well, that's the way we live in this country. We live in largely segregated communities. When was the last time, in Greenwood, for example, the richest person in town? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, think of the richest person in Greenwood. Okay, and then think of all the people on food stamps that live next door. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Not likely. No. We live in segregated communities, not always by race, although it often works out to that, but certainly by income. And I don't know that that's necessarily evil, per se. There are a handful of people in this country who wallow in the concept of diversity, and mostly they're people who don't realize that what made America great was the absorption of diversity, be it language, customs, or what have you. But most of us are more comfortable with people like us. That's a fact of life. And liberals that get all bent out of shape about that are simply trying to stop the oncoming tide with a teaspoon.
There you go. Well, I like it. But I was surprised at how many telephone calls we had coming in where one individual that, had a Hummer, for example, and people were up in arms that he lived in their community and had a Hummer. And, you know, when these type of things, I thought we used to be accepting and we used to look forward to the fact of doing well and moving forward, and if we could afford to buy that bigger house or buy that Hummer or whatever the vehicle is, that we used to applaud that.
Well, let me ask you this. Was that in Greenwood?
That was in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Is there a major liberal bastion in Greenwood?
I think we have a bigger one than I thought, Jim.
Well, apparently you do, because I don't know anybody but a card-carrying, tree-hugging, tofu-chomping liberal who would get that upset about a Hummer. So I'd say this person probably picked the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah, I think so. So, it is becoming, how are you looking at the next, 100 days as far as having people on and running your show in the evening? Are you going to be heavy into politics or are you going to try to stay the current and go into other stuff along the way?
Well, we will of necessity be heavy into politics. I mean, we've got three presidential and one vice presidential debate coming up. There'll be major charges that are made and counter charges. And those will all, of course, require our attention, on top of which, of course, election night, which will be one of the most closely watched election nights in a long, long time. Having said that, am I going to be wall-to-wall politics? No, we pretty much were the last couple of weeks. The conventions, despite being largely giant infomercials, still have importance, and we covered it a lot. But we are doing other things, and we'll continue to do other things. People do not live by politics alone, and I think if you try to put on a program that is politics, 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 and more politics, I think you'll just turn the average person off. The political junkies out there, and I'm one of them, but we're not anywhere near a majority.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think a lot of people want to discuss all the other issues out there besides that. But since you have moved here to South Carolina, Jim, Do you have more time, or are you, since you were living in Washington, or what do you find in the differences?
You mean in terms of just my daily lifestyle?
Yeah, your life, yeah.
Well, of course, for one thing, I don't spend an hour, well, actually 2 hours a day commuting, an hour each way for me. And now I spend, instead of a 30-mile commute, I have a 30-foot commute. So, no, it's that part of my day changes considerably. The general pace of life, absolutely, in a small town, anywhere in America, is absolutely less than it was in Washington. There's no question about that. A lot of hassles exist in terms of just day-to-day existence in Washington. I mean, you know, somebody throws a cocktail party in Georgetown that you feel like you need to attend, and I used to do some of that. Well, that means right off the bat, the lift fare starts at 7. Well, I got to go through rush hour, the second worst rush hour in America after Los Angeles. So if I'm going to go to a 7 o'clock cocktail party in the Georgetown section of Washington, I live about 30 miles away, to get there on time, I would probably leave the house about 5. I'd probably allow 2 hours to go 30 miles. Here, I don't have to do that.
God, sounds like you were going through the TSA.
Well, it does sound like it. Yes, it does. That's not a bad comparison. To a certain extent, living in a major city like Washington is like living around the TSA 24/7.
Yeah. Well, have you adjusted? Are you happy you made that move?
Well, absolutely. Indeed. Certainly, there's always a certain period of adaptation that is required. Perhaps I need to freebase the Prozac a bit and calm down, but yes, I have adapted.
Well, that sounds great. Well, I just wanted to get your take this morning. How do you think? Who's going to be the next president?
Well, if the election were held today, Hillary Clinton, by most indications. There is a lot of time between now and election day. A lot of things can happen, the debates and the like. You can count on Hillary Clinton baiting Donald Trump. She will go into at least the first debate, and probably all three, with lines that they have played out and rehearsed that they intend to throw on the floor that will make Donald get off message, because he is so easy to drag off message. He will be baited, and frankly, unless Trump does a sudden reversal, he'll bite for it. He'll follow it. He is like Pavlov's dogs. He is easily conditioned to leave message. So based on where we stand today with a slight Democratic lead, depending how big the bump from the Democratic convention is, and based on Hillary's more disciplined approach, and goodness knows it is more disciplined than Donald Trump, even his most ardent supporter would have to admit that I would have to say that if I had to pick, and I'm not happy about this, but if I had to pick, I would say that Hillary Clinton will probably win. But, as I say, that could change if Donald changes.
How do you think he's been doing since the convention, but even in the last couple of, less than a month, how do you think he's been doing? He seems to be a little bit more restrained.
Well, maybe a little bit more restrained, although certainly he could have predicted, if he ever bothered to think, he could have predicted what people would say when he suggested that Russian hackers release more emails from the Democratic National Committee. Now he tells us, well, I was just being sarcastic. Look, Donald, with the mouth you've got, you don't have room to be sarcastic. You will be taken seriously. But again, of course, either nobody has the nerve to tell him that, or they tell him and he doesn't listen. He came out of the Hillary emails, a golden gift handed to him, not only a gift of how terribly she handled security matters, how she would be the first presidential nominee ever who couldn't even qualify for a security clearance if she had to. And on top of that, it really played to Donald that the FBI didn't recommend indicting her, because now you've got people who are mad and upset. And he takes this golden opportunity and talks about how strong Saddam Hussein was dealing with terror. Are you kidding me? It's almost like Trump doesn't really want to be president, or that he made a bar bet a couple of years ago. I'll bet you I can win the Republican nomination. If he wants to be president, he should start acting like it.
He said he could be very presidential. Come on now, Jim.
What?
He said he could be very presidential.
Well, that's nice to know. Listen, Donnie, now's the time to start. Now, if you want to be elected, this is not reality TV, and it's not the Republican primary field that is a much smaller group of voters and a very fractured field of opponents. No, it's you and Hillary, essentially. The minor parties will play some role, but not much, and you're talking to a much bigger electorate. And it's time to stop pandering to everybody out there who believes professional wrestling is real.
I guess you're talking about one of his speakers at the RNC.
I'm just talking about, frankly, the people who, I like Donald because he insults people. Those people are brain dead beyond belief. If you believe in Donald's issues, and I think he has some serious issues, we need a border wall, we need tougher trade policy. He's got issues. But if you think that Donald is being politically incorrect when he insults people gratuitously, when he talks about women's internal plumbing and the like, no, he's just being a jerk. When I, for example, refer to illegal aliens as illegal aliens, and I have said on the air, I'll call them undocumented immigrants the day we start referring to bank robberies as unauthorized withdrawals. That's making a point. That is political correctness being attacked. But just simply making a crack about where Megyn Kelly was bleeding is locker room nonsense, and he's going to be his own worst enemy if he doesn't finally, as you say, start acting presidential. Show it.
Well, there you go. I guess that's a statement. How do you feel about Pence as his pick?
Pence was a good pick if he listens to Pence. Pence, first of all, is solidly bedrock conservative. I know some conservatives have been upset about how he dealt with some issues as governor, but he's about as conservative a person as you're going to find in this country. If Trump listens to him and the discipline that goes into being a politician, and yes, that's what Donald Trump is, whether he likes it or not, he's running for public office, then you need to learn from Pence. Pence could be a tremendous pick if Donald will listen to him.
And what about Kane for Hillary?
That's an interesting pick, certainly as a geographic pick. Kane has been a consistent vote-getter in Virginia, a very important block of electoral votes that's up for grabs, and Kane, frankly, on the ticket, is certainly going to move Virginia closer to the Democratic column. Kane obviously has not pleased the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. You'll notice when Sanders spoke at the convention and looked at the Democratic platform, he noted in particular, of all the planks in that platform, there are probably three or four dozen planks, he picked out that the platform wants more banking regulation and it wants tougher trade policy. And those are two slaps in the face. Bernie might as well have simply said, in your face, Tim Kaine. So as a vehicle to reach out to independent voters, Kaine's a good pick. As a vehicle to reach out to Hispanics, Kaine talks Spanish pretty well. Good choice. Geographically, good choice. But if she wants to shore up the base of her party, that is to say the liberal base, Kaine was not a good pick.
And what do you think Bernie got out of this?
Oh, he got his place in history. As he says, the revolution will continue, and to a great extent, to the extent that it does continue, those who think socialism is a joy will look back on Bernie Sanders very fondly. He certainly is not going to be anything more than what he is. He's not going to be a part of a Clinton administration. He'll continue to be a senator from Vermont. So he had his say. He came close, and that's what he gets.
So you don't think that that they made any deal with Bernie to get him to go along?
I missed that part, Ann. What was it?
I said you don't think they made some deal with Bernie to get him to go along.
What could they offer him?
What
would they have that they could offer him? He went along for the simple reason that I go along with Donald Trump. Not that I like Trump, but that I cannot abide the thought of Hillary Clinton being president and Trump's the only alternative. Likewise, Bernie recognizes the reality that either Trump or Clinton will be president. He doesn't like Clinton, but he cannot abide the notion of Trump being president. So Bernie is being a realist. When it comes to economic and foreign policy, Bernie Sanders is not much of a realist, but politically, he's a realist. I don't think the Clintons had anything to give him. I'm sure that they would have. They try to buy everybody else. I don't think he was buyable. What could the Clintons possibly give Bernie Sanders that he would care about?
Secretary of Education.
No, he would much rather be a senator where he can be speak his own mind and do what he wants to. No, he's exactly, if he can't be president, then senator from Vermont is exactly what he would like to be.
There you go. Well, Jim Bohannon, it is always a joy to have you on my show. Thank you so much for calling us this morning and enlightening us with opinions.
Well, hey, that's what it's all about. And I urge everybody, of course, to be sure and call in with your opinions to Ann Eller right here on WCRS 1450. For you, 1449.95.
There you go. And not only that, you can hear us now on 98.5. We're on the FM dial too, Jim.
98.5. Well, I was not aware of that. Well, congratulations. That was a very smart move.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And someday soon we'll have to get you to come down off the mountain and come down and see us here in Greenwood.
We must do that. I absolutely concur. It'd be great to turn my wife loose in the jewelry store.
Have a good one, Jim, and make sure everybody you tune in to Jim Bohannon on 98.5 and 1450.
Weeknights, 10 p.m. right here.
That's right. Thanks so much, Jim.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.